Gila just blessed the beat. This is Shana the Songbird.
And this is Shahari.
And welcome to another episode of Why the Songbird Sings. Hey Shahari, what is going on with you? What has been new with you since the last time that we talked?
Hasn't really been anything new. So it's just been I don't have anything necessarily new. Exactly. It's been busy at work, and when I get home, I just want to not work. I don't want to be depressing, but that's kind of how
you don't want to say why the songbird sings.
So the past weekend, I went to a friend's house and helped him fix his wife's car. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice distraction, and I helped somebody out. And then we took shots for the rest of the night after. So I ended up staying there because I was not capable of driving back. And then I went with his family to lunch the next day at his in-law's house, so that was nice. We had ham. She made peach cobbler, which was really, really sweet peach cobbler, and potato salad. So it was a nice weekend this past weekend. It's a good bit of distractive rest is probably what I needed. But yeah, that's what's been happening. What about you?
Nice. For me, once again, it's just me preparing to leave and getting ready for my next set of adventures. Today that we're recording is technically my last day working at this facility, and I felt very touched because they gave me a cake and I hung out with a lot of people, and they did several shout outs, and they were very like, you know, yeah, you should come back and work with us or whatever. And I felt like it was like less of, you know, come back to work because we need the help, and more so like, you know, we kind of like your personality a little bit. And so it kind of made me feel a little wanted, a little appreciated, especially since I was having a hard time assimilating at this facility. So I was like, oh, that's so nice. But outside of that, I've just been busy just trying to like get stuff together for the move and everything, because in true Shana fashion, I have accumulated more stuff now than what I came here with.
You arrive on a plane?
I did.
So I guess you just got more luggage then, right?
No, actually tonight I'm going to like take stuff out of my luggage because I don't want to pay the extra fees for overweight luggage, and plus I don't want to carry all that either. So I'm just going to take some stuff out, put in some boxes, go to UPS in the morning before my flight, ship it off, and call it a day. And that is what I will do as far as my extra accumulation. And besides that, yeah, just ready for my adventures, ready to see friends, ready to see family, ready to see my significant other, and not have, I guess, work responsibilities, as in like having, being responsible for someone's life, I guess. I'm ready to not have that be a thing.
Meaning you're, that's about to happen, right?
Yes, okay. Like.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff. There's so many thoughts that came to mind. And with the extra luggage, I was just, I'm going to keep that one thought I had to myself.
I'm so scared.
They didn't write anything. They wrote nice things that they give you a card, and everything was positive. There was no foolery in any of those remarks.
They didn't write a card. We have like a group chat at work. And so they had a separate group chat because they surprised me with a cake and a gathering, which like I really didn't expect, because I didn't tell a lot of people that today was my last day. And a lot of people didn't know that today was my last day. So I didn't tell people. So like I was like shocked that they came together and everything. Then I found out like they had a group chat. They planned the cake and everything, and I was like, oh, this is so cute. So
everything was positive and no inappropriateness.
Yeah, it was, oh my God.
I don't know why you act like you're surprised. I don't do that.
There might have been some inappropriate, like, eye looks, but other than that, everything was appropriate and nice and endearing, and so I appreciate all of it. And like I said, I didn't feel like I was like fully accepted and assimilated well into the workplace, and so like to receive that kind of feedback for me felt a little bit more gratifying. And if I didn't have like my emotional breakdown and mental breakdown that I had this weekend, I probably would have cried, but like I'm kind of all cried out at this moment. So it was just like, oh, thank you.
Very good. So we leave in peace. Okay, that's all on the checkup.
It is. So are we ready for reflections?
Yes.
The one that is to see long years, bless the one that is to love over and over again, that creates tears, bless the one that is unknowing of the cruelties. Blessed is the one to advance their lifeline with roars and sounds that express joy and express life in the exact moment that they create. I pray that they never know the disappointment that comes with living, that they are quick to accept the disappointments and be able at that time to take in and flaunt it and love it and enjoy it, because the moments and memories feel shortly lived. Oh, to love the in-between, it feels worse. To live in it, it feels like you can never be fully yourself anywhere. There are moments I feel in my skin, powerful, black, queer, and strong. The moments in my mind are just fantasies or distant memories on my mind. I love who I am. She has been forged from the scraps of her ancestors to those around her to an understanding of who she is. Sleep, I know that you are in my corner. I've wanted to do more than to love from a distance, to be a financial benefit and being an ear or of advice. I know and I appreciate your love and dedication, and it is not without notice. Thank you to the one. And that is the end of reflections.
Okay. So exaggerated.
Oh my God, so rude.
I just felt like there was a lot going on in there, and I was trying to be distracted by the emotion because there was so much of it. But I got a Maya Angelou feel. I just heard her voice in that rendition there. But something did catch my ear. You said you were forged from the scraps. Why the scraps of your ancestors instead of, I guess, something more wholesome?
Personally, growing up, I really did not have much connection with anyone in my family. I only had a connection to one person, and I feel like as I got older and as I wanted to have these connections and these understandings of my family and whatnot, I felt like I was kind of like more so taking bits and pieces, and I wasn't taking like full tapestries from people and from my family and from the understanding of those before me, and created my own way, and then found out that in me taking those bits and pieces were enough in to tell the full story, in a sense, of us, in a way. So that's why it's like more so scraps versus something a little bit more, I guess, lush or attractive, that you might say.
So you're saying your relationships were forged from the bits of time that you had together, not you yourself?
No, even me myself.
Okay. Okay, what I got from that explanation is that your relationships were born from the scraps. Or maybe, yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting from your explanation. I didn't get you yourself being born from the scraps, but mainly just the relationships you have with your family since y'all are kind of distant. Which I can guess kind of see that, because I was distant with my family because we always moved. But, okay, so there's that explanation. What was another thing that caught me? Who were you talking to?
I was, to be honest, I wrote this last week, technically. Remember, Jesus, I hope y'all can hear these people screaming outside. I'm sorry. But when I had my my mental, emotional breakdown, and I was I found myself just crying and just really just not feeling okay, and feeling like I really needed someone near, and to be honest, by the time I found somebody who was, because it was late in the night / early in the morning when I was having this mental breakdown. So of course most people are asleep, and a lot of people that I do keep in contact with are in central time zones. So like I am ahead of time of everyone. So a lot of people were asleep, and so when I did talk to somebody, I was able to like kind of talk my feelings out. But like while I was talking my feelings out, the person I was talking to was falling asleep, And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and just like write this down, because I feel like I might not remember all of this right now, and just like I feel like this, it's probably someone else that will or is currently feeling like this. So I'm going to write down as much as I can, as well as express verbally at the same time, because I was talking and typing at the same time, and so I know like some things were missed, but generally the entire feeling of what I felt was expressed. And it's kind of interesting because like I'm reading back on it, because I was like, you know what, I'll just use this for reflections. And to be honest, what I was saying was more so to like whoever needed that moment, or whoever relates to that moment, is for them to like hear it, take it, grow, take it, learn, take it, know that you're not alone. So it's literally for anyone, everyone, because it was just a cathartic moment to where I really needed someone, and I was not okay, and I just was able to verbalize and express some form of how I felt.
Yes, we finally got to the two after the 10-minute explanation. That's good.
We finally got to I can't deal with you.
My actual question. Why are you like this? In there. That's good. I'm sorry that you, whatever happens that caused the breakdown, it's good that you got it out. You wrote it down. That helped you to release.
I did. I woke up feeling glorious. Yeah. The sun was shining. It was a warm day. I was like, damn, I feel like I just released the world.
Yeah, so initially you were talking to yourself, your consciousness, encouraging yourself, and you use that to hopefully encourage somebody else. Yes, okay. That was a good reflection. It was very energetic. Very enthusiastic, a Maya Angelou-esque, poetic.
I'm so weak. I'm still weak off this Maya Angelou-esque.
Hope y'all enjoyed that reflections. So are we moving on to the next segment?
Yes, give us some words of light.
Okay. Welcome to the Words of Light segment with Shahari. This is titled A Lifestyle of Decluttering.
A lifestyle of what?
Decluttering.
My God.
So I've been in need of rest and a refreshing for a little bit. I've grown tired of pretending that I'm okay. And I guess I'm having growing pains. As the fake it till you make it concept isn't working out, you know. I'm tired of pretending to like someone when I always hear them talk about me. So this is getting to that point. So that's kind of a testimonial thing of what brought me to this, a lifestyle of decluttering. So this is brought to you by Aaron Grinnell. It's a Bible plan app. I'm going to read you day 5. At the beginning of my purging journey, I would set aside a big chunk of time for decluttering and attack a specific area, like a closet or drawer. The accumulation of stuff over many years was overwhelming. Even though I have now sorted through every area in my home, I still have not finished. One of the secrets that made my year of decluttering so successful was committing to make it a habit. Decluttering the house is not a one-and-done process. because new items are constantly entering our home, and each one must be dealt with. In spreading my goal out over a year and consistently clearing things away, I created a habit of decluttering. Over time, I developed a new lens through which I view everything. It's like having a decluttering app that is constantly running in the back of my brain. I keep a donation bag hanging in the cloak closet where it is easily accessible. Anytime I come across an item that makes me ask, why do I have this? It's easy to drop it into the bag and move on with my day. When I try on an outfit in the morning and realize that I don't like the way it fits me, rather than putting it back in the closet to deal with later, I immediately bring it to the bag and it's done. Instead of setting aside time specifically for decluttering, getting rid of things is now part of my rhythm and routine. The same principle applies to our personal spiritual practices, whether it is praying, spending time in God's word, or identifying and confessing sinful behaviors. We can learn to incorporate the lens of Christ in our daily lifestyle. Instead of confining our prayer time to a few minutes in the morning, we can learn to pray without ceasing. When we feel the twinge of conviction, we can stuff it down to deal with later or immediately make it right. When faced with a painful situation, we can first try to come up with the answers on our own, or we can turn to God and ask, what should I do with this? Slowly over time, our perspective shifts. Each time we listen to God's still, small voice, it becomes louder and clearer in our lives. When we deal with clutter in our souls, the moment we see it, it prevents us from becoming overwhelmed by a giant mess later. So in reflection, ask yourself, how can I turn my relationship with Christ into a moment-by-moment lifestyle? Some scriptures to go along with this would be Deuteronomy 6:6-9. It says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Another would be Psalms 119:9-11. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word, I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The last one I have is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Those are a reflection and scriptures to go along with that devotional. That just brought to me to help declutter whatever I was holding on to that I didn't need to hold on to. Either however somebody made me feel or just any animosity I might have had towards somebody that I didn't need that was just holding me back. So just take care of it right away and you'll just feel better. So I'm going to end with this prayer. So just pray this with me. Father, thank you for giving me access to you at all times. Help me to deal with the sin immediately, to pray unceasingly, and to seek your direction in even the smallest decisions. Help me create the habit of having the perspective of Christ active in my mind at every moment. In the name of Jesus, amen. That was your words of light for this episode. Go forth and prosper.
Awesome. I love that. That's That's I find it interesting that that was your words of light, especially when my reflections was literally written during a mental breakdown and literally during a moment of me saying, I'm not okay. Literally, I repeated to myself, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And in eventually, like, releasing everything. And the thing was, I was releasing ups, I was releasing downs, I was releasing the in-between, like, I was releasing everything into the atmosphere that was on my spirit, even if I didn't think that it was harming me, and even if it was not harming me, whatever was on my spirit from however long ago I went back, because right now it's kind of a blur, like exactly all that I talked about. And the person, she doesn't remember because she was asleep most of the time. But I loved, like, the whole thought of, like, decluttering as you go and whatnot. And I find it interesting that sometimes I feel like we probably should be more proactive in our decluttering, because I feel like what we do, especially as young people, we're so used to, like, being busy on the go, doing this and doing that, and not really noticing and taking inventory of what needs to be cleaned and, like you said, decluttered, and what needs to be taken care of now so that later on you're not dealing with a bigger mess. And I feel like that's beautiful.
I think I was getting tired of being tired, so.
Oh, come on. Like, come on now. I like that. I was getting tired of being tired.
Yeah, I'm just going to step away from you because you fake, because I'll get out. Just kidding. You know, I'm just like, I'm still dealing with that, but it's just, yeah, let's take care of it right away, because I don't need that energy. And I don't like feeling like that, you know. But yeah, it's what I've been working on. And I apologize that to the audience that this is not a Shahari takeover. I just had too much going on. So
I mean, we are young people who are working. Like, people should understand, like, this is not our full-time gig. We do not make enough funds from this in order to only produce content. We are producing content and trying to juggle working full-time jobs, having a social life, having our spiritual lives, having our mental breaks, as well as creating these conversations for you guys. And so I feel like we deserve some grace. I mean, we're 20 somethings that are, you know, finding our way.
Yeah, you had to put that in there, didn't you? The 20 something.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I see what you're doing. Don't do it.
Yes, but this weekend,
I'm gonna declutter right now.
Yeah, this is like the past weekend. I really needed that break away from ordinary life, I guess.
I'm happy
because I don't remember how many shots. Even though I thought
something was wrong with you two, because I was not prepared for like calls from both of y'all back to back.
Oh right, we did call. Yeah,
don't remember.
We were drunk.
Oh,
and we called. Yes, we called, I know. Like 6-7 people.
I was asleep and I was like preparing, like I was asleep to go to work the next day, and Shahari called me. I was like, oh, Shahari is with our friend and he's drunk. It's like 1:30 in the morning for me in Eastern Standard Time. I was like, you know what, he's drunk. If he doesn't text me or call me back, then I'm just finna just like ignore it and continue on with my sleep.
First of all, she didn't know I was drunk because she didn't answer my call, but she answered
first
his
of all
call.
First of all, I knew.
You did not know.
I knew that you was going to be with him. Yes, I did. You told me.
No, you told me you was going.
Yes, you did. You literally told me either the day of or the day before that you were going over there. And I said, okay, cool. So I already knew if you,
You didn't correlate that quickly. No.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
It wasn't even that quickly. I already knew. See here, don't do me like this. Anyways, you told me you was going over there. So I was like, all right, cool. All right, he's going to go over there. Oftentimes when Shahari goes over that particular person's house,
lies. He stays there. Lies. Lies.
That is not no lies.
That is a lie.
So you're saying you typically don't spend a good amount of time over there, and you're saying that with that particular person out of all of our friend group, you don't get intoxicated around them?
Not every
Then you are a liar. But with them, you get intoxicated with them more than anybody else. It's more likely for you to get intoxicated because
amongst
you're more comfortable
group,
with that person.
People that you know, yes. There's another group that you don't
that's
know.
That's why I say it with our friend group. That's why I stated what I say. I say what I say.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure I'm not being seen as something else here.
I mean, clarify how you need to clarify, but I said with our friend group. Yes. So you agree to that. So for me, I'm like, all right, cool. He's with such and such. All right. They're probably having a good time. They're probably drunk. You do have a habit of calling me when you're good and drunk. And so I figured, all right, cool. If something is the issue, he will call me back. But instead of you calling me back, he called me back. So in my head, I said, oh, maybe something happened. That's why when I picked up the phone, I said, hey, what is wrong? Well, I think I said, hey, how are you? Then I said, what is wrong? What is up?
I didn't hear that.
Because I'm like, he's supposed to be with him. So I'm like, okay, it's either they're both fine and they're just drunk, or something is actually wrong and there's an issue and I need to wake my ass up. And then our friend said, oh no, do you have to go to work the next day? I said, yes, I do have to go to work. I said, what is wrong? I repeated myself and asking what is wrong to make sure that you two are okay. Well, at least you, because I'm speaking with him at the moment. So therefore, is everything okay? And he stated, everything's okay. We just been drinking. I said, I bet. I hung up the phone, rolled over, put my pillow underneath my breast, and started snoring very loudly. And it was a good night.
That's good. Anyway, it was needed. It's been a while since
I know it was.
I don't think I've been that intoxicated in a while.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, we had like 7 shots. He kept saying the shot. It's like, oh my gosh, we were chasing it with alcohol.
You know what? That was the shit that he did when we was in college. I don't know why you were shocked by it. You knew how Everclear ran quickly out of the cabinets.
I finally finished that bottle of Ciroc that I had.
The Ciroc or the Bacardi?
The Ciroc.
I'm surprised you still haven't finished the Bacardi.
It's still in there. But yeah, it was good. It was needed. And yeah.
I'm happy for you.
So
You be a little too stiff. You be needing to be a little fluid and flaccid sometimes.
Thank you for the wordage that
was used. Oh my god. You know what I meant. Jesus.
Whenever you nobody says you should be more flaccid. No one says that.
Oh my god. Like, excuse the fuck out of me. What word do you want me to use?
Not flaccid.
What word would be more appropriate to you?
Fluid.
I said fluid.
Okay, but you also said flaccid. Which is why I'm getting on you right now. Because it's weird.
All right. Who says I'll take that? Evidently I do.
Well, stop.
I bet. Say less, King. I hear you.
All right. right. Is there anything else?
Yes, it's nothing else. I'm happy that we both have had our releases. Okay, pause, rewind. I'm happy that we were able to express the needed feelings and emotions. And hopefully those will be benefits to others in both segments. And yeah, and so next is going to be the interview with Stephen Williams, aka the black dude who paints. I'm so excited for this interview because Stephen and I have been friends since the summer from 5th grade into 6th grade. That's how long we have known each other. And then in, I want to say either high school, either late high school or early college, we found out that my best friend, Mimi, is one of his cousins. I forgot what kind of cousin, but she's his cousin. And so, like, ever since then, we've always kept in touch. And even from him joining the Navy to him recently coming out of the Navy and finding his way into painting, we have kept in touch, and we just have had this close relationship. And I'm super excited to have him on the show to talk about how he got into it, and to have a visual artist on board to kind of like give people perspective and like a non-traditional glance into visual artistry. Because he got his big break during the pandemic. He didn't start this before the pandemic. So for him to navigate starting up and now doing art galleries and getting paid by different businesses, you know, it will probably be helpful to some of our listeners. So I'm excited for that. And before we finish up, I would like to remind everyone, if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have thoughts, if you have anything of the matter in which you would like to speak with one of us, probably more so me. Exactly. Don't do that. Hit us up on Instagram at Why the Songbird Sings, Facebook at Why the Songbird Sings Podcast, where you can also hear snippets of the show, and on TikTok at WTSS, Why the Songbird Sings, and what's the other thing that we have? I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, and our Gmail account, which is Why the Songbird Sings Podcast at gmail.com. And hit us up with those things. We are appreciating those that are commenting and sending us inspirational messages. And I definitely know that you don't pay attention to the inboxes, because you gave me that look like, really? What, yes, we what get inbox inspirational. In the Facebook inbox, we get inspirational messages every day.
I have never seen not one of those.
And you're missing it.
But thank you for them.
Right. So you need to go and like look at it, because, you know, it's beautiful. I love it. It's a wonderful start to my mornings, especially when I'm going to work. And don't forget to catch us soon in April and possibly May on another podcast. I'm not going to disclose the name of the podcast just yet, because that featuring is in the making, and also on Off the Rock podcast, which is supposed to be on April 20th. It's going to be streamed on Instagram, Facebook, and I don't know if it's streamed on YouTube or not, but I know Instagram and Facebook and anywhere that you have a podcast, and I think inspire.com, but do not quote me on that. But we're going to be guest appearing on some podcasts soon, and I'm gonna try to do all of this while flying and driving and everything else. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun month. Are you ready, Shari?
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about, but
hot damn. Anyways, let's go to the interview, because once again, like I've said in so many of our shows, I'm getting tired of him. All right, let's go to the interview. Till next time, bye.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our interview section here with the Black Guy Who Paints, Mr. Stephen Williams. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Just got off work. A little hot, a little tired. I'm ready to take an edible. You know how it is. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm good, good. You know, got a little cough, a little under the weather, but I'm okay. I'm all right today.
About to say, yield up with the plague. We had a shut-in list.
The Black Plague in February. Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry.
I mean, it has taken out more, you know, Black and brown people. So, I mean, I guess you could say Black and brown plague, I guess. We're not gonna do this. So tell us about yourself as we gather our lives.
All right. Young Black man, Birmingham, Alabama raised, freshly out the Navy, did 10 years.
Thank you for the service.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a 9-to-5 job. and I love to paint. Only been painting, what, a year and a half now? Found out during the COVID I can paint and haven't looked back since.
Nice. And so you said that you just started painting everything.
Correct.
You just got out of the Navy. So if you can like tell us if there were any other professions that you were a part of, and really what actually led you to painting?
Well, off time in the Navy, when I wasn't working in the Navy, stuff like that, I was also a bouncer at most of the bars around here in Rochester. So I stopped bouncing, you know, handling the drunks and stuff like that. And during the COVID, though, you know, everything shut down. Yeah, you know, me shoveling, throwing, you know, the drunk Olympics. How far can you throw this? during the COVID, though, you know, everything shut down. No bars open, anything like that. So I found myself with a plethora of free time. And I used to draw when I was younger, but never took it seriously. I used to do it all the time. And I decided, I found this little $5 paint kit at Family Dollar. And I poured me a glass of Hennessy, sat on my front porch, and painted a tree. It started off with a tree. And I was like, I think I can get pretty good at this. And I just kept painting some new every day on little tiny canvases until I started getting bigger and bigger. Finding new methods, finding new ways. Started an art book, started drawing in my art book and stuff. And then, as you know, here I am, painting on canvases, painting on stages, from front porch to front stage.
I love it. And I remember on Facebook, watching you with your Facebook Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Would do. And I'd be like, okay, look at you. And you'll have the stuff sketched out. And then
I use the Facebook Live because people want me to paint. Like now I go to bars, I go to different shows and I paint in front of people now. I paint in front of crowds, but I had to get accustomed to painting in front of people. So I use Facebook Live to get me used to like somebody's watching me paint, eyes are on me. Let's see if I can do this. And from Facebook Live, I can do this on Facebook Live. I can probably do it in person. Yeah, that's what happened.
Nice. So do you only do paint? And if you do, what kind of paint do you typically use? And if you don't just paint, are there other mediums that you use for your visual art?
So as far as painting goes, I use oil paints. All my paints are oil, except for one, except for the Venom painting right there. That's actually acrylic because it's glow in the dark acrylic. Yes, that paint actually glows in the dark.
Nice.
But that's the only acrylic paint. I don't like acrylic because it dries so fast. Like if you mark it for a minute, it's already dry. Oil takes days to dry. So if I ever mess up anything like that, dab a little white on it, put another color code on there, good to go. So yeah, I'm almost a strictly oil painter. I'm thinking about diving into charcoal drawings though. So I really like the charcoal. I'm really enjoying the shading. I'm really like the, I like the way it looks. I'm not quite ready to start setting those yet, but I am trying to play around with them, see what I like, see what I can do, hang out. But I've been using a lot of more black canvases too. So hopefully I can integrate that with the charcoal. So a lot of charcoal colors, keep using the black canvas, because I think my last 5 or 6 paintings have been all black canvases now. That's been a theme for me right now. I really like the darkness on there. I really like the contrast of colors, and white backgrounds are boring. And it's hard. And with a black canvas, I don't have to paint a black background. Win-win.
You know what? That is true. That is true. That's interesting that you get into charcoal because I know when I was in school, charcoal and pastels were my favorite mediums to use. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I just ordered some pastels to like kind of start back, like playing around with it. Yeah. And but it's something about the blending and shading for me. It's like very soothing, especially when you get it just right. It's just like,
ooh. Are you gonna use oil pastels? Because I know I enjoy oil. If I'm gonna use pastel, it has to be oil pastel. Just because to me at that point, it's there we are. Yep. Yeah, just nice, fun, fresh blending crayons.
Pretty much.
But they blend and they go on so smooth and they blend so well together. Yeah, if you're gonna do any pastels, I say go oil. That's all. I'm a big advocate for oil.
I see, because
I am American.
Oh my god, I'm screaming. I can't. Which is interesting because I did not realize that most of your paintings were oil. I thought they were acrylic.
Stand acrylic. I hate acrylic.
Well, did you begin with acrylic or?
I did.
Okay, that's why I'm probably had in my head then.
I did one painting. My first two paintings were acrylic, okay. And then I got introduced to oil painting, and I never looked back.
Okay. Nice. And so, how are you navigating as a new emerging artist during a pandemic? I know you stated you start off with Facebook Live and whatnot, but like how was it transitioning from Facebook Live to now performing? I guess you can call it performing, but painting in front of people, I kind of call that like in the sense of performance, in a sense.
It's actually been a really decent transition because like me, everybody else was locked away too. Mm-hmm. So it went for our people, you would think like new artists on the stage, people really don't want to come see an artist paint anything like that. But people been locked in so long that they do anything to get the house. Mm. So bars would have, like, my friends, like I said, I work security, so friends, a lot of bar owners around here and stuff like that, and they follow me on Facebook, and when I come in and go for a drink, so they always stop me, yo, can you come paint something for the bar, or paint in the bar sometime, or anything like that, and it started me painting on one of my bosses, painting on one of his other bars that's outside on the patio painting, and then I posted that to something, when another bar owner said, hey, would you like to come paint for us here, all right, come paint over there, so now I'm actually scheduled every Tuesday now, to paint at a bar right here, maybe like 6 blocks away from my apartment. They want me every Tuesday on stage, come paint for them.
Nice.
And I don't want to get paid for it because I think I do something I do I love. I actually like the exposure, and most of the time, like for the last 3 weeks now, I've been, before I even get done painting the picture, I already came up and bought it, and they just wait for it to be done. They sit at the bar, they have a good drink, and by the time they're done, ready to go, the painting's done, they take it with them right out the door. The one I posted the other day, that Tanjiro painting I posted the other day, didn't even make it to the car. It was already gone.
That's awesome. I love it. And so I see that you do a lot of, I thought I wrote this in. Anyways, I see that you do lots of anime characters or anime inspired.
Anime and comics are my people. Yep.
Right. And so do you do anything outside of that? And also why anime and comics?
Well, you know, even we grew up together. I'm a nerd. All my tattoos, all my stuff is anime, comic based. I'm a nerd. I'm a big nerd. And this is what I love. And I know other people love it too. Now, I have started trying to dive into a little bit more realism. Like, mm-hmm. I can't really, well, you can't probably see it too well, but the Superman painting in black and white, but his features are realistic. Mm-hmm. So trying to slowly ease my way into more realistic paintings. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, though, like I said, that's just comics though, but I can't say people don't like anime. Like my demand for anime has grown expeditiously, especially with new people coming into the anime world, new kids, adults finding their way into watching stuff. God, I get so many requests for Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer right now. It's ridiculous.
But I say, yeah, Demon Slayer, I know
oh, a lot my of God.
People are starting to get into Demon Slayer.
I'm working on Rengoku from the movie right there in the corner. He's in the window. Yes. But I'm working on him right now. I get so many requests for him. So like I said, I'm going with a topic where I know I have plenty of material and there's always a demand for it. I could probably dive into realism, do landscapes and stuff like that, but from my opinion, this is what people want right now.
So have you tried like direct observation with when it comes to like realism?
I try to practice myself first. I try to challenge myself. So I went outside one day and I just started working on what I just saw outside right there in the spot. Just started to sketch it out really fast. Mm-hmm. And I got a pretty decent sketch, but I don't like realistic colors, if that makes sense. I like the vibe. Anime is vibrant. Comics are vibrant, right. Shiny yeah. colors. Realism to me is just like a brick wall. It's different color. Yeah, it's different colors. There's nothing glowing about it. There's nothing great about it. I can paint some scene out of Africa, or I can go paint some scene I've never seen before and have a picture of a book. Yeah, I can do that. But again, that it doesn't really stand out to me. Somebody else took this photo, or they already seen it. It's already fun. Here, I got animation. I can change the animation to what I want to do. I can have this person doing this, this person against this person. It's more imagination. Mm-hmm. I'll have to be as observant as more I can be imaginative. Mm-hmm. So that's what I said. So observation, it's just like, meh. Realism is fun and realism is nice, but at the same time, though, I don't want to see a picture of me on the wall. if that's how realism gets, I don't want to see a picture of me.
I'm screaming. I mean, I guess I'm still waiting on my Gother one.
So okay, so I did a poll. I think you missed it too. I asked everybody which Seven Deadly Sin would they want me to do.
Gother
was dead last. After I did all the counts, Gother was dead last.
What is wrong with people? Like it was okay. The question was: were they thinking of Gother the doll or Gother the actual man?
Actual man.
Okay, no, I want Gother the doll.
You want the doll. Okay. I think I said Gother, and people asked me, they said, which one are you talking about? And I was like, which one y'all prefer? And I think it was like five people that said the man. No one said the doll. They said the man. They said they want the man holding the doll, which I thought was kind of cool. If you think about it, picture adult Gother controlling puppet Gother by the strings.
I guess.
But number one was Bond. Bond won number one. Instantly, it was not even a competition. I hate Bond. I think Bond is such a cliche character, the pretty lover boy character, the vampire. He's lit Twilight, giving anime form. I hate Bond.
You know, you're not completely wrong.
the tragic love story, vampire, but immortal.
Now, okay, I'm just gonna like nerd a little bit, but. Was I the only one who felt uncomfortable with him and Elaine's relationship? Because she looked young, but I know that
she's a lolly. She's a lolly.
And you just, I know, but weird. Still.
I don't like lollies. The lollies thing is weird to me. I don't like it. I have a friend who loves lollies, and I keep him at a distance. The lolly relationship stuff is weird. And yes, I don't like, that's one of the reasons I don't like Bond either. That's another reason I like him. You already know who I want to win. He's tattooed on my back.
Of course, Escanor. Like,
of course, I want Escanor to win so bad. So I put Bond in my book. I have to draw. I have to paint Bond. I was gonna do him a Valentine's Day, but I was like, no. I thought about it, but nah. Well, he would have sold too. But I think somebody else.
Because he's a sex symbol. Him and Meliodas.
Oh my God. I don't like Meliodas. I like Meliodas and I don't like Meliodas.
Okay,
I
would love now, which version of Meliodas is the question?
What are you talking about, like Demon King Meliodas? It's great. It's great. Good character. Non-Demon King, normal, perverted Meliodas. He pisses me off. But I learned why he's perverted. He's not actually perverted. He's had his heart broken and lost his girlfriend so many times. I get it. I understand it. But it's not. I just can't. I can't get with the constant titty grabbing. I can't get used to that. The constant sexual harassment. That's not who I am.
Hey man, we stand people who stand against sexual harassment.
Yeah, that's a no no. That's a no no.
And I'm sure no one probably did. King. No one did.
No one did King. It was Bond number one, Meliodas, Escanor, Merlin.
She's another sex symbol.
Yeah, Merlin. What's the pig name? People wanted the pig.
Hawk.
People wanted Hawk, but then there were no votes for Diana. There was no votes for King. And there was four votes for Gunther, but not the puppet.
Now Hawk is a whole mood. Like
Hawk is a vibe. Hawk is a good vibe.
Like
we just want to eat. We just want to eat.
Baby, I am King of Strap.
Oh,
that's for the other show. My bad.
Wow.
King of Scraps.
Scraps.
My bad.
Get scraps.
My bad. That's for the other show that we're doing. We'll talk about that later. but yeah, okay, that is so neat. Okay. Well, all right. Well, like you said, we with the audience you had mentioned earlier, we grew up together. I think we met summer going into sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. Right before it was that something. It was at Center Street. It was that special academy thing over the summer. That was a waste of time.
It was a waste of time. It was
a complete waste of time.
It gave us something to do.
I guess. All right.
I don't know about you, but it gave me something to do besides stay in the house and do chores.
All right. That's fair. that's fair. All right. I get going. Thank you. I'll take that one.
And so we've known each other a long time. So you have... You have seen the growth of Shauna.
Yes. Growth is the word. Growth is the word. I like that. Growth. Oh, man. Growth. Yes.
Bless it, Lord. So on the show, I do a segment known as Reflections, and it's where I send a message to my former self, just giving them tidbits and, you know, things that, you know, I know now that I wish I knew then and whatnot. And so to you, what advice would you give to your younger self? And it doesn't matter what age you want to choose or whatever, but what advice would you give to yourself?
The honest truth?
Yeah, go ahead. As long as it's nothing like
racial.
Okay.
Be a rapper. It don't matter how good you think you are or how bad you are. It doesn't matter. Look at the time we have now. Look at the day we have now. Look at music now. I should have been a rapper. It's honest. The look of disappointment in your face. But it's honestly true. It doesn't matter how good you are, it matters how bad you are. Be a rapper. And go to school. I should have went to college first before I joined the Navy. That's what I should have did too. Should have went to college before I joined the Navy and be a rapper. Dang.
All right. So.
you want to break this down.
Right. Go ahead.
You want to break this down, but it's honestly nothing to break down. Think about music. Think about music's changed when we was younger to what it is now.
Okay.
Think about some of the best rappers out there right now.
I'm sorry, I don't listen to rap, so I don't
That's know. Fine. That's fair enough. Exactly. You don't have to listen to it, but you know rappers' names like Future, you know Drake, you know all of them.
But they're not
now
comparing
now.
Their rap stylings to the stylings we had like back in the 90s.
You can't, right? Exactly. Like, you can't. Exactly, because it's so vastly different. But right. At the same time, though, it's not hard. I love Future. Future raps are so simple. 21 Savage.
That's
simple.
Because you belong to the streets.
I'm a young black painter in this world. I can't belong in the streets right now. I can't. I'm a changed man. I'm not that man I used to be. I'm better. I'm a better person. I've left. What's the word I'm looking for? Those memories are in the past. I'm not that person anymore. But honestly, I promise you, if I can go back in time right now, I would be in someone's studio, absolutely terrible. Probably be a millionaire by now. Talking about absolutely nothing. Being a rap, people who are rappers rapping in the high school lunchroom right now, who are probably still terrible. Kodak Black. Kodak Black. I don't like it. Understanding about it. I love his music, but I know he sucks. I love his music though.
But what does that say about you? Like, if you know that he sucks, but then you love his music, what does that say?
That there's a demand for it. This whole life is nothing but supply and demand. And I know he sucks. I know he's not the best rapper, but I love his music. That means there's always going to be a demand for it. I don't need to make everybody happy. I just need a solid 10%.
Okay. I mean, from that logic, I guess. I'm just without words.
10% of a million people is 100,000. That's a sold out show.
I'm with you when you're right. So besides being a rapper, you said going to school before joining the Navy.
Yes.
Why is that? Why did you choose to not go to school, and why now you would tell yourself to go to school?
What people don't know is I had a full ride scholarship to Miles College but it was a full ride scholarship where I had to pay for anything. I just had to stay in the band full ride all 4 years. But I got it the same day I went to my job, get my contract from the Navy, the exact same day. They called me like 2 hours before I was going to get my contract. I flipped the coin. My life was decided. One of my biggest life decisions was decided on fate. I promise you, I pulled it right off in the office. I looked at the people. I said, heads Navy, tails college. And I flipped the coin. I flipped the quarter.
Sir, young man. Okay.
I know it sounds crazy, but it's
but
like...
But knowing you, like, I can...
You can see it clear as day.
Right.
But the quarter flipped it right then and there. Okay. Only reason why, I don't regret my time in the Navy, but after my 6 year mark, I realized I had people coming in legit 20 years old, not even able to drink yet, but because they had some schooling done before they came to the Navy, they became officers off the rip. And with them coming officers, They already ranked above. They've only been in maybe 6 months, and that not only did they outrank me, I had to report to them. Hmm. Me being in 6 years, trying to make an E5, making a second class payoff, so reporting to this ensign who's only been in out of school for 6 months, and now he's one of my division officers. Hmm. So I was like, that's when I realized, yeah, I should have got some degree in something. And it doesn't matter what your degree is. It didn't matter what your degree was in. It right. I know it sounds crazy. I had an officer who had a degree in photography, but it was still a degree, and they recognized it, and he became an officer. So yeah, if I can tell anybody right now who wants to join the military, if you think about it, you got a chance to go to school first, get a degree, go in as an officer. Your life will be drastically different and drastically better.
So I'm curious because I'm not gonna say this for that show. From the people that I have come in contact with, typically their degrees and whatnot correlate with their job in the Navy.
It depends on what office, you know, so it depends on what job you choose. Now, if you have a medical degree, of course you'll be a medical doctor. I'm not going to waste that on you. But if you have a accounting degree or something with management, you're going to be in logistics, you're going to work with supplies, something like that. Mm-hmm. But they do have officer spots where they doesn't necessarily need a certain type of degree to learn what you're going to do there. Hmm. So like I said, it's just like I said, the school that you, most of the time they keep going to school once they're finally in. Mm-hmm. But to get you in that officer step door, that front door, have a degree in something. Have a bachelor's in something.
Now, what if you had an associate?
I think you need a bachelor's. Because I know you associates will help you get into the program if you're enlisted. It'll help you get into the officer program while you're already enlisted. What you can do is just a bit harder. But mm-hmm. I would say get the bachelor's. Then go in, you skip all of that. Go straight to officer school. Become an officer. Skip all of that buddy-ish.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. Because it's funny you say that because the Navy was trying to recruit me and I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that.
Oh, you would have loved the Navy, especially now. If you'd have survived to what it is now, you had you a good time. Had you a lovely time. Hey, free healthcare for everything now. You had you a good time.
Oh, child, first of all.
Free healthcare.
I don't have time to be on a boat. I don't have time to have to swim because I can't float.
Everybody should know how to swim. For emergency situations, life or death situations, everyone should know how. Say you have a child. And that child's drowning in the pool on the beach. You just gonna wait, look at him?
Once again, I can swim. I can't float. So
everyone can
float from A to point B. I cannot float.
Everyone can float. You just floating the wrong way. When you say float, you mean like laying on your stomach and just floating?
Anything.
No. Turn over. I promise you, turn. Next time you get in the pool, turn over, lay on your back, and put the back of your head in the water.
Let me tell you what happens. I literally, this is the surface of the water. People can't see my hands, but literally my body is literally right underneath the surface. I can't, like, I still can't breathe.
Just poke your nose up top. Just poke your nose right there. You're good to go.
My nose is not, it's not pointy. Like, my nose is not pointy. My nose is not as big as yours. I still cannot breathe. Literally, my body is like just low enough to where I still cannot breathe. I can see the surf. I can see it's like right there, but it's just literally.
Just a quick little push. You're good to go.
See, that's utilizing energy. The purpose of floating is for you to rest and to energize yourself to prepare to swim.
I mean, you got to burn a little bit to save a little bit.
Child, it's called I'm drowning. That's what it's called. Now I can stroke, I can butterfly, I can do all kinds of things in the water, but floating is not it. I just cannot. And then when it, and then when they told me I had to like swim within a certain time, and mm-hmm. sometimes they just like toss you and you just have to,
they don't toss you.
Okay, they push you.
They do slightly push you off the, exactly. off the diving board. That's the hardest part. People's fear is the hardest part. Once you get over your fear, then that you can't do.
See, I don't mind diving. I don't mind that. But I know I do it. I'll jump in and I'll dive. But I know like as soon as I go in, I need to immediately go to where I can stand up or go to the wall or something. But like if I just go and there's nothing for me to grab onto, and life vests do not keep me up either. I am that dense to where I will not survive. And so therefore I said no.
All right. I, you know yourself better than me.
Because that was a no.
Fair enough.
But that's quite interesting. I did not know that about the Navy. Like you can just like have any kind of degree and like immediately be an
officer. There's something in the Navy for every degree, trust me. Computer science, intelligence, photography, surveillance. There's a degree for music degree. We have a band.
Oh, I know. That's what they were trying to get me for. They were trying to get me for the band.
Exactly. Like I said, you could think about it. So they can switch, figure out, put it in somewhere.
And I still said, that's not it.
This is not for me.
I said, this is not it. Especially when I heard them perform a couple times, I said, oh, that's not it. That's not it.
I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you. Mm-mm.
What you call it? You think I'm a drinker now, baby?
Oh, oh, we gotta say that for tomorrow. We gotta say that for tomorrow. The stories I can tell y'all, just Korea alone, the stories I can tell y'all would ruin your perception of man, Navy, human existence for life.
Human existence. Oh my God. As you drink your monster.
As I drink my monster. Hey, this is a monster. This is a monster.
Oh, child. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm about to call you Mr. Williams. My bad. Well, Stephen, that is all of the questions that we have. Thank you so much for sharing your POV on the Navy, on your story of starting up, painting and everything. And I hope, I think you're our first visual artist to come on.
Oh, so wow.
I hope there'll be like somebody that can like learn and be touched by this and hopefully be influenced to just go ahead and just do their shit.
Just do it. Hey, you can't, if you don't put your art out there, nobody can see it.
That's right. All right, and so your information is going to be in our description box, but you can go ahead and give a nice little plug of yourself and your brand and everything.
All right, I'm Stephen Williams on Facebook. It's Facebook/, I got to change this, but it's / DJ Scuba Steve 205. I apologize, I have to change it. Facebook's really fickle about that, but I prefer people to find me on Instagram and on Snapchat. It is the Black Guy Who Paints on both. Email if you need any email. My email is stephen.williamswfg@yahoo.com. But for all other reasons, yeah, Instagram. It's I know Facebook. I've had it for years, and I just need to change it. I've had it for years. Remember, I told y'all be a rapper. I had a dream once.
Like, sir. Know, it's so easy to go in there.
I keep thinking about it, but it's already on all my business cards. Still have business cards, and it's on my business cards now.
Can you repeat what the name is? I want it for the culture. It's February. It's February while we're recording. Let's do it for the culture. Can you tell us the Facebook again?
It's Stephen Williams / DJ Scuba Steve 205.
All right, my last question before we out. Why Scuba Steve?
Me and my friend Greg growing up, we used to make beats on our laptops all the time. And it was before I went to the Navy. I was getting ready to go to the Navy. It was all just, it was all making beats to try to figure out hooks and stuff. And then they, what's going to be your DJ name? And I was like, I don't know. What could it be? Like, I don't know. And all I remember my friend said was DJ Scuba Steve, drowning you with sound. And I just remember that. And I was, it just stuck with me so well. It became all my email addresses. It became everything. I don't know why. Don't judge me. I was young. I was a young man just trying to make it in the world by any means necessary.
That's it. Do it for the culture. By any means necessary.
Don't do it for the culture. I did it for me. I did it for me, not the culture.
Oh. I'm so weak.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Oh, this is going to be very fun editing. I'm going to keep some of the laughter, some of it. Or maybe all of it. Who knows? Depends on my mood. Depends on the edible. Who knows? But anyways, well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And
until next time.
Bye. Reflection.